If you would please join me in Philippians chapter 4, a singular verse. It is not like me to preach from a singular verse. However, this one verse has such a capacity. Also provides a challenge for many, myself. And so we will dig into this, into the depth. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His most holy, inerrant, and inspired word. The verb rejoice appears over 200 times in the Bible. The word joy is found over 150 times. And if the words joyous and joyful are included, then that number well exceeds 200 times we find this teaching in the Bible. Here are just a few of the passages that speak of rejoicing, joyful, joyous, etc. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Did we not just see that a bit in what the Leslies have written? Psalm 118. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. John 16. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Nehemiah 8. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Isaiah 12, shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Romans 15, we have a benediction. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in all hope. And then finally, this challenging passage from James chapter 1, where James writes to the church, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. So here we see the practical pastor James saying, count it all joy when you face these trials, because know the outcome is building you into a steadfastness, into a strength, into a solid foundation. We have all these passages that speak of the joy of the Lord. Yet, as I've said, there are many of us who do not feel secure in our joy in the Lord. And many do not understand joy as it is taught in Holy Text. In our passage today, once again, Paul states emphatically, in the Greek language, this is considered an imperative verb. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. Again, I say rejoice. Now, on the surface, this may seem like a simple statement. Rejoice. Be happy. Be joyful. But we all know that when we begin to dig into this and we begin to explore our own reactions and responses to this teaching of rejoice, there are so many questions. Is it possible to rejoice always? Is it possible to be joyful all the time? Am I supposed to walk around living with a smile on my face all the time? Is it a sin, given this teaching? Is it a sin to be in despair or to feel depressed or to be sad? When sorrow or pain overwhelms me to the place it puts me on my face, have I fallen out of God's graces? Is Paul just simply being the naive optimist here by saying, rejoice always? Now, for some, just reading the verse might lead to depression. They just can't do it. They want to be joyful always, but they just can't quite pull it off. And so rather than leading to joyfulness, it actually causes one to regress. I know there are folks in this room right now, I know there are folks out in the parking lot right now, for who the idea of joy in this point of life just is a little bit too much to grasp. Pastor Tim, Paul, Holy Spirit, you might be asking just a little too much. As we approach this idea, this teaching of joy in this text before us, we must first understand something very simple. Paul is not commanding that the Christian do all they can in their own energy to muster up a cheerful attitude and present this false idea of joy. He is not saying that. No, what Paul is calling on us to do here is to be joyful in the Lord. Please notice how he's written this. Rejoice in the Lord always. This is the key. This is the key that unlocks the lock. This is the simple thing. Let me not use the word simple. This is the key to unlock what Paul is teaching us here, is to be joyful in the Lord. Paul is speaking of something that is supernatural, that cannot be produced in my own energy. And it is produced by the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. Our joy is to be rooted in the Lord, rooted in Christ Jesus. Again, we've gone through this Philippians, all of Paul's writing, he uses it over and over again. Being in Christ Jesus, I can be all things through Christ. I am in Christ Jesus. And so here again, he's expounding on and teaching us what that means to be in Christ Jesus. Our joy is rooted in being in Christ Jesus. It's not rooted in our emotions. It's not rooted in our circumstances. We shouldn't look to how we feel to dictate how joyful we should be. Our joy is to be rooted in, find its foundation in the completed work of Jesus Christ. And then the Holy Spirit applying that work to me, in me, in my redemption. Now, while we may never find that perfect level of joy, it is something we as Christians must always strive for. Back in chapter 3, Paul says, I have not achieved all these things, but one thing I strive for, one thing I pursue is this stuff in Christ Jesus. Here's another one. I pursue understanding what it means to be joyful in Christ Jesus. We are to try our best through the guidance of the Holy Spirit to understand that simply being in Christ, in Jesus, we have been given that blessing. We have been given that state of being where joy is a part of who we are. Rejoicing, joyful, finding joy. I'm not looking for it out here. It's in here. Because I am redeemed in Christ Jesus. You are redeemed in Christ Jesus. All right, let's flesh this out, dig in even deeper, and flesh out what Paul means when he says, rejoice in the Lord. And please know, and this is important, while it probably does not need to be stated here in this congregation, but we will look at God's holy word to explain to us what joyfulness means, not the psychology of our day. There will be many who will preach this text and they will bring the human psychology into it and saying human dynamic is involved here in finding. No. if anything that gets in the way. So we're not going to popular psychology, and we're not going to look at any human wisdom to say this is how you should be joyful. No. We're going to God's Word. We're going to what He teaches us through Paul in this particular case. Now, first we're going to begin by identifying what joy, rejoicing, joyful is not. Because understanding what it is not helps us understand what it is. First of all, to rejoice does not mean that we will never feel sad or depressed. And I'm thankful for that because this entire week has been that for me. But Paul, that's not Paul. That's not what he's saying. He said you can't, you're going to feel sadness, etc. And we'll go through that. Now, the Bible itself is a beautiful written book by a very wise author. It is balanced in what it teaches. And while it can't explain, while we can't explain all the things given here, it is an incredibly logical book. And we see this balance when we compare the different passages relating to joyfulness and sorrow, rejoicing and weeping. Today, we read, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Okay, if we stop there, then we're only getting one side of the coin. But if we compare that to John chapter 11, where Jesus is standing in front of Lazarus' tomb crying, is that a portrayal of joyfulness? The man's sitting here crying. So is this a contradiction? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. To the uninformed, it may seem that Jesus is sitting there brokenhearted, without any hope, and he's just floundering. No, he's about to raise the guy, but he's crying. These are not contradictions. Rejoicing, weeping. In Romans chapter 12, Paul puts them together. Rejoice with those who rejoice. What's the other half of it? Weep with those who weep. And it would be totally misguided if we took Paul's words to mean that a Christian should always deny sadness. We should always deny grief. We should never weep and be found sorrowful. No, that's not true. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn. Is mourning joyful? The Psalms here are a great teacher in this balance. The psalmist is often overwhelmed with despair, with sadness, with fear, with anger. As I read the Psalms many times, I can see David shaking his fist at God and saying, where are you? He never puts on a happy face. He never masks his feelings. However, in the process of crying out to God, laying his heart out before God, by the time he gets to the end of most Psalms, not every one of them, but by the time he gets to the end of the Psalms, he is then praising God for his mercy, praising God for the joy he finds in the Lord, and his circumstances have not changed one bit. So the psalmist often experiences overwhelmingly the despair, but at the same time, the joyfulness and the joy he finds in God. So to rejoice in the Lord always does not mean that we are to deny our reaction to circumstances. We are not to deny painfully enduring the trials God brings and allows in our life. We shouldn't ignore and walk around with that happy face all the time. People will worry about you. Because being a Christian is not easy. Being a Christian is not happy. It's hard. It's suffering. It's challenging. but yet there's something greater. Secondly, again, defining what joy is not. Joy is not a matter of feelings. It's a matter of obedience. And this is what many folks overlook. Today, our passage that Paul has written is a commandment. Just like in the Ten Commandments, you read those ten, just like do not murder is a commandment. And we see that, we follow that. Rejoice always. Same level of commandment. Therefore, we should desperately, deliberately choose to obey, rejoice always, just as much as we obey, honor thy mother and father, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not covet, honor the Lord, all of that. Same thing. Rejoice in the Lord is a commandment. And following this, being obedient to this, has everything to do with our attitudes, which depends on our mental state and which can depend on the choices we make. In my younger days, I was very rebellious, even in my older days. And so this telling me what to do, sometimes goes the wrong way. And so in my thinking, I've already said, no. But then when the challenges and the heartaches and the trials come along and I'm depressed and beaten down and I'm going, well, Lord, where are you? You told me you didn't want me around. The attitude is a deliberate decision in the strength the Spirit has given us to be obedient. Rejoice always. Often we must go deliberately against how we feel. We must go deliberately against our emotions. When we go through the trials, when we're treated unfairly, when heartache comes, when we're disappointed, et cetera, et cetera, we're faced with a decision. How are you going to respond to this? Are you going to yell out, why me, Lord? Or go, okay, Lord, help me in this and teach me. Finding a greater joy may simply be accomplished by our attitude, and attitudes can be affected simply by our desire to be obedient. Sounds simple, doesn't it? It's not. That's the reason Paul says, it's not about what we do, it's about the Spirit in us. It's a supernatural thing. But yet, in our sanctification, we work along with the Holy Spirit and we strive. Lord, teach me the joy in this. Teach me the transcendent nature of my faith that you've given me to raise my eyes above the heartache and the trial and put them on you. Thirdly, now we'll turn a little bit more positive. To rejoice always is a matter of being content. Which, being content, as Paul gives it to us, causes us to transcend, to rise above, to move in our minds, in our thinking, in our deliberations, to move above, put my thinking above the confinements of what's before me. Our hearts may be heavy with grief and sorrow, but in our minds we know that God is sovereign and that our lives are in His hands. And just as James gave it to us earlier, we know that the testing of our faith through these trials, through these heartaches, through these challenges, produces a greater, stronger, more solidly based Christian. Again, I point at this big old oak tree out here. Where the winds blew through here the other night, that tree was out there doing this, back and forth. Those of you in the parking lot, look at that big oak tree. You think it won't move? It moves. that's the trial, that's the challenges to that tree. And then what is happening to the root system of that tree? It's being opened up. Space is being made between the root and the dirt. Okay, what happens to that root after the wind stops? It grows into that space. And what happens to that oak tree? It becomes stronger. If we sit in a dark room all day long, having pie fed to us through the door, not much growing there. Thank you, Lord. May I have another? Thank you, Lord. Can I teach me? Paul had learned to be content in every situation. And later in chapter 4, he will write about that, and we'll talk about that when we get there. Being content. Being joyful is not a pretended happiness. It's an obedience. It's an obedience to abiding in the Lord that takes us above our circumstances. It's an assurance. It's living an assured life that our faithful God, who has given us promises to provide, to uphold, and to undergird, in whatever we need, it'll be there. God is always there. He is always there, above and beyond and in our circumstances. This is not a surprise. This tragedy that struck the Leslie family on Wednesday, God decreed that day for those individuals, actually those five individuals, to pass from this earth. He allowed the secondary circumstances to bring that to pass. Understanding that, realizing that, is where the Leslie family's joy comes from, that allows us to rise above. Now, is there crying, mourning, sadness, heartache, debilitating sorrow? All of us have been there. Yes, yes, and yes. So, okay, now let's back up a little bit. Let me just quickly give you some principles that help us lead to this. First of all, joy, rejoicing, first of all, depends on the right relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. Where are you in Jesus? Where are you in Jesus Christ? Do you know Him? Good teacher? An ethical person? Or is He God, Lord, and Savior? And we look to Him for every ounce of our existence. Always. Good, bad, or indifferent. This joyfulness begins in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I said earlier, just as soon as the Holy Spirit comes and redeems, then He has planted within us that character and person and nature of Jesus Christ. Then the great battle begins. His character overriding my character. His nature overwhelming my nature. And that's not easy. But yet when that Holy Spirit comes, that joyfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's planted in there. It's given to us. We just pray, Holy Spirit, keep growing it. Bring it on. Come on. Come on. Bring it out. Let's go. Secondly, and I've touched on this a bit, but we must learn in obedience to walk in submission to, and I'm going to move past just obedience, but walk into the sensitivity of the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, Pastor Tim, don't get too charismatic here with the work of the Holy Spirit. But see, we folks, we don't, that's why I try to mention the Holy Spirit so many times in a worship service. We live and breathe and have our being in Jesus Christ, but only by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is working every day, every hour, every ounce of the day in our lives. But are we sensitive to the work of the Spirit? Do we understand His yearnings, His pulls, His disciplines, His whatever in your life. When we walk outside, Paul says in Galatians 5, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit's teaching, not by the nasty desires of your own selfishness. Because walking outside the commands is inviting Satan and the desires of the flesh to come in and go, okay, let me lead you. And he will. By walking in the Spirit, it leads us to the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and the list goes on. Walking in the Spirit means a daily relationship, being deliberately sensitive to what the Spirit's doing in your life. Next, quickly, joyfulness means looking at our trials from a biblical, godly perspective. As Christians, everything that goes on in our lives should be looked at through the paradigm, through the filter, through the glasses, if you will, of godliness, of the biblical teaching. God has ordained all these things. He has decreed all these things in your life. He is bringing you through these things because He has a target for you to grow and mature and to be ready at that point. All right, it's going to take putting you on your knees over here, scuffing your knees in this case, crying into the night in this case, seeing being delivered through this, finding the energy to live after passing of your child, your spouse, your loved one, your parents being shot and murdered. Teaching, preparing. We must always live our lives in perspective of godliness, of the biblical teaching, of God ordaining all these things. Other things Paul's touched on here. Living joyfully means to resolve conflicts. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Singing praises to God. God loves singing, even ours, even mine. I love the passage in Zephaniah where it says that God is singing over His children. He loves singing. So when we find these times of being depressed and heartaches and trials, sing. Now some of you may want to sing in the room by yourself or in the shower so nobody else hears you, but sing. If you don't sing, at least turn the radio on. Turn the music on. Judy's been doing that for me all week. I come in and the music's... I used to tell folks, go, when they're depressed, I would tell folks, go, open the windows, open the blinds, go change clothes, put something bright and yellow on, turn the radio on, change the dynamic. Sing. Next, serve the Lord and others with gladness. Psalm 100 said, serve the Lord with gladness. Serving Him and others does an amazing thing. Turns the attention away from you. Go volunteer somewhere. Make a phone call and see how someone's doing after surgery. Call someone on the phone and say, how you doing? Get the focus off of me. Practical. Focus on the blessings God has for us daily, rather than the events of life. In just a few more minutes, we're going to sing a song that all of us know, written by Johnson Oatman in 1897. The chorus goes, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. And if you do that, your blessing list is going to be a whole lot higher and taller than your depressed list. Very practical, but yet biblical. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say rejoice. It's not a feeling. It's not based in emotion. It's planted within every one of us. It is something we work and encourage and pray for. Holy Spirit, bring that out. And allow me to look past this thing that seems to be overwhelming. rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Amen, amen, and amen.